This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms.
I did.
Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons, it was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know what? I think it could be a fair question. I think I want to ask the question. What if instead of Eric Staal being named... I just caught how I even said it. How did I say it? Eric Staal, right? How did I say it? Just like sort of... What if instead of Eric Staal being named assistant to the general manager of the Sabres, it was like Michael Pekka? Does it matter who the guy is here?
Aesthetically, which leads to your emotions, yes, it does.
Should it?
No. No, Michael Pekka would... Well, I mean, he's been working on the bench. He was in Rochester. Now he's in New York as an assistant coach. So he's been in off-ice hockey jobs for a while here, where Staal, to my knowledge, has not. So he'd at least have had some background in the field, more so than Staal has. But really, I don't think I'd feel any different about the potential of it working than I do. And that's not to say that I'm entirely pessimistic about Eric Staal having any kind of a positive effect on the organization. He very well might, just like Michael Pekka might have. But he's not from here. He's not one of ours. He wasn't Captain Crunch during the 99 Cup final. And more so, he kept the Sabres, or helped keep the Sabres from getting to the final in 2006. So he's almost a villain kind of role here. And
I haven't decided yet whether I should care about that.
That leaves a taste, excuse me, a taste in your mouth.
If it had been Pekka or any once popular Saber, it doesn't have to be him. I just know he's in the business kind of. But if any popular Sabres player had been named to this position, I think I would have been critical because it just would have seemed cheap. Like,
mm-hmm.
The team is mired in this seemingly endless playoff drought. All right, sure, we're going to like this because we liked him on the ice. And his credentials might be the same. What are Eric Staal's? Only that he played in the league a long time. Like, really.
More recently than Pekka, but yeah.
Yeah, right. But he has no experience. You know, this is his first job, right, in hockey.
I believe that's retirement. Pekka's had, you know, a few different stops already, but sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not even Pekka, just whoever else could be.
All right.
I mean, Drury and Briere are both GMs.
So is Mike Greer.
So is Mike Greer. Right. They're all GMs. Brian Campbell. Whoever.
I did think of Pekka. It's funny that you would mention him specifically in this, because it was right when, you know how bullish I've been on Paterka, right? He's going to be their best player, leading scorer, all that. The genesis of that is Pekka talking about him when he was in Rochester for me. I remember Pekka talking about him, and I remember my reaction being, the player he's describing here sounds like Nikita Kucherov. And so I got pretty excited about that. And, you know, we're nowhere near that, okay? Just to close that part of the conversation. But Pekka, the fact that it is Staal and that can you can choose whether to be aggravated about it or not, I guess. Or maybe not. Maybe it just is obvious you're going to be at least somewhat aggravated when you hear his name. Not because he played 32 games here in a lost COVID season for the Sabres, although that was kind of annoying, too, that he was ever even here.
Was it?
Yeah.
They shouldn't have signed him then either, because...
What are we doing here? Like, what? He got traded here. His family didn't want to come. Like, it was a whole thing. So whatever, that's not something I don't bring up the family to hold that against him. I mean, it was arduous, it seemed, for him to get here in the first place. And now he's back in this, you know, whatever capacity here, helping fix the hockey team, I guess is that's somewhere in the job description, I think. Right. But Pekka came to mind, like, it's another example of a guy that ties to the organization, captain, player, and I can't say he couldn't wait to get out of here, but they couldn't find a spot for him that would satisfy whatever his aspirations were at the time, and he went to New York to do that, and we'll see where it goes from there. But it's just another dude that, like, if he'd stayed in the organization, I don't know, maybe he'd be actually helping.
I just want to be able to, if it's possible, evaluate the people on their merits. You know, assistant GM, GM, coach, assistant coach. And I don't know, like, I find that challenging. It's easy to make a judgment based on how you thought of them as players. Even if Eric Staal wasn't on that Carolina team, or that didn't happen, you know, still, he was maybe that's all the difference. You know, he was just a very good player on the Hurricanes for a long time. You know, if you don't have that one series, okay, well, I think I might like this idea. Saying all this, the frustration is more just like, what does the assistant to the GM do? Like, what is this? Does this really count as change?
Right. Is it going to move the meter at all?
That's like the bigger point.
Yes.
But who the guy is, it's funny, because I do say over the years, I've said many times, like, because people will call and want Frank Reich to be the Bills offensive coordinator or something, like, before he even got into coaching, maybe. And, like, you know, do we really need to pick somebody just because he was a Bill? Like, do we really need to do that? And I always pushed back against that. And here, shouldn't I like this, Ben? Shouldn't I like that they picked a player? It's really more because of Adams. And this is also a little bit of a dilemma, because Adams and Staal were teammates, and he also traded for him, right? Like, that was that Adams, you know,
yes,
5 years ago.
Yep.
So they've got a connection. Shouldn't you want that? Shouldn't you want the GM's assistant to be somebody he can trust and feels good,
sure,
about working with? Like,
yes,
that's not a negative. So I don't know. The bigger thing, and the bigger thing could still change. It's just that, like, the season ended weeks ago, and some teams just, like, get right on it. And the Sabres seem to do this.
Yeah.
Quintessentially, when they announced Botterill was staying and then fired him later before the next season started.
Right.
Like, just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like it's a sharp operation.
I do think it's absolutely correct, in my experience, that, and look, I don't know that this would be 10 people calling us. It would definitely be social media. There'd be more Michael Pekka. Oh, that he knows what's up. Just because you like him. You had his jersey. You watched him crunch, you know, whatever. All of it. You know, his career. Which, again, is another captain that got sent away because, you know, the relationship soured. And, you know, congratulations on that. It's like a long list. You have to have it end that way if you're a Sabres captain. That's just how it usually goes. Although I guess Oposo wasn't that bitter, but he did get traded at the end to go somewhere else and go win the Stanley Cup. Congratulations. But the sentiment today would not line up with what a realistic expectation is for either person in the job, but Pekka would be met with way more favor just because he played here and people liked him. There'd be people like what you just described yourself pushing back against that, saying just because he played here doesn't mean it's going to work.
But
and that the inverse of that is just because we don't like Eric Staal because, you know, he's got one of those faces or something, or, you know, he was the captain of the team that kept you from winning the cup because of Jay McKee's infected, disgusting shin guard or whatever, doesn't mean he's not going to help. But your preconceived ideas are very hard to divorce yourself of, and Pekka would be, oh, that's, I really, you'd be more rooting for it to work than Eric Staal is like, yeah, no, I don't like you. Yeah, I want you to work. I want it to work. I want you to help me, help my team. That would be great, but I'm not a big fan. Whereas Pekka would be the opposite of that, but neither of those opinions
nothing
would matter.
That, nothing matters there, right?
No.
Just, yeah. I guess I'm deciding. I feel like I should decide to like this. What business do we have saying we don't like Eric Staal? What did he do that we don't like? Played hard and won. That's
pretty much. Yeah.
Isn't that what we want the Sabres to do? Like, I've said many times. Like, there's certain players going all the way back to when I was a kid that it just seemed like we're a little bit too hard edged for the Sabres. They're too good. Too good isn't really fair. There's a certain brand of player that seems that the Sabres just never really tapped into. Like a Roberts. He's a famous example of this. And you know, we're Zubris. Somebody else is Gary Roberts, right? Like that right. sort of hard-nosed goal scorer. You know, those are highly paid. Those are stars.
Yeah.
But still, like, I always feel a little bit less than when it comes to the Sabres in this way. And, you know, Eric Staal was one of these guys. And if it can translate somehow to management, okay, that's good. So was Pekka. I mean, he was obviously that type of player too. I don't know.
Not as decorated in his career, but still. Yeah, sure. I mean, Pekka's never won like Staal won. But yeah, I think that's a very good point about the style of that player too. Like just sort of a, what's it going to take? Whatever it's going to take, I'm going to do it. And if that means I got to do something that's even questionable, like, you know, dirty, fine, whatever. I'll do it. We're trying to win the Stanley Cup here.
Here's Dave with us. Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I mean, I think the bigger issue here is I think people see the front office changes and you see the speculation about, you know, Elliot Friedman saying they're looking to potentially bring in some sort of senior advisor. And most Sabres fans are probably done with Kevin Adams at this point. So I don't think anyone's ever going to love Eric Staal in Buffalo. On paper, you know, makes sense for a lot of roles. He's got a big hockey background. But, you know, I think you see stuff like that and it's just kind of a symptom of frustration with other things at this point.
Yeah, the very appearance of Kevin Adams being a lot. I'm stopping myself. It's patently incredible and absurd that he still has the job, right? Like that, your walking off point for anything they're going to do is him figuring out how to complement what they already have that isn't working and add to it. And he gets to pick one of his oldest friends in hockey to come do a job he's never done before, to help Adams do a job he'd never done before when he got the job in the first place after 5 straight years of not making the playoffs. When this year that just finished was coming with all sorts of, I never heard, because you never hear anything other than from Adams or the coach or the players, but like as far as Terry Pegula, there was never an edict about, you know, look out below if you don't get it done this year. But it sure is, you know what, felt like that out here, didn't it? Like, oh, they're going to have to make, they got to do it this year or else. Lindy Ruff is back. And not only did they not do it, they were never even close. They were in third place in the division on Thanksgiving and lost their next 13 hockey games. Nothing changed. Nothing happened. The GM didn't pay any price for it. Instead, he got to hire his friend. What the hell are we even doing here? Like, it's a joke is what all that is. So anything that you're trying to find your way to feel good about, which this segment started with you about 2 minutes ago feeling good, and now I'm over here just pummeling it.
I feel great about that.
But anything that they're going to do that Adams is still in charge of, how in the world do you expect any of us to have faith in any of that. I think it's nearly impossible from a sports perspective, other than just say, well, anything could work. I'm not eliminated yet.
Right.
So maybe, you know, maybe they get the lightning strike goalie year out of Lukanen or Levi or I don't know, Jake Allen, somebody, they do something. I don't know. And it just works. But sitting here in May, that guy still running the team, it's so hard to invest in a conversation about what could work, what should work, what should they do. He should not have the job. And we're just conditioned to live with it. And it's ridiculous that he still has the job. So I'm all for bring Don Waddell. Come on down. Whoever you get your hands on. I don't know, man. It's 5 years is long enough. It's not like they've been close or just missed. They had the 1 year where they just missed, and then they regressed, and then it got worse. It just does not make sense that the guy still has a job. The LA Kings have made the playoffs 4 years in a row and run into like a duo of superstars each year in the first round and lost. And that dude got fired.
Blake.
Was he
fired?
Yeah. Hmm. Well, they mutually agreed to part ways.
Yes. And he's a legendary player.
Yeah.
For their team. I mean, and Colorado, but Blake.
Yeah. So, I mean, just you look around the league and it, not to say that, you know, I might at times tend to because I'm so passionate about it. And when I get any feeling like this going again, it's almost like I feel alive again because I'm giving you some passion on the Sabres. But it usually means I end up exaggerating to some extent, right? Their reputation in the league, I've mentioned it a lot. And look, I just can't believe that there aren't people laughing at them within the league. That he got to hire his friend from Carolina to come be his special assistant. After these 5 years are his resume professionally as a general manager of a National Hockey League team. And he got to do that today. How in the world does that happen? But here we are.
I know. It just defies explanation that a major league sports team could go these 5 years with these results and not make that move.
Right.
I think the number is three. For me, the number for this is three. You get 3 years, barring really bizarre circumstances. I don't know where you're starting from. Maybe the 14 Sabres. It was three too much to ask 3 years for them to get in. I don't think so even. Like, I think that should be enough time to meet the middle, right? The playoffs include the teams in the middle.
Yep.
And they've only been close once in 5 years and still missed, so I can't really argue. I would do it. I am happy that in my life, I am not in a position where I have to tell people they don't work for me anymore. That's something that I feel lucky to not, you know, have to do that professionally. But you suck it up. And I would want it. This is when, you know, we're all sort of maybe wondering what Pegula feels or thinks about all this. I would just hate for my reputation to be stagnant with a franchise that we love. And he, when he showed up, clearly exuded the same. I mean, he was totally believable as pretty much a lifelong fan. And if that were myself, I would hate for people to think that
I don't care about it.
I wouldn't, and I don't think he doesn't care about it, but I just think sort of practically to go so long without making a change at the top, really Adams is the top, is such a bad look that I would just not have it for myself. And there are counterpoints to that. Loyalty, continuity, would be one. There's something to be said for that. Whatever he's built, he is choosing to keep going with. But I don't know. It's just so unusual for a team to go. In hockey, good teams fire coaches 60 games into their seasons. Like, it's so unusual for a team to sit still like this for so long without winning that I would just never want it for myself. I'd have to make this move for my own pride, I guess, as an owner.
I also don't think that he doesn't care, but it gets said a lot because of every point you just made. And I would also want to, even if I know I care. I would want to show everybody that I care. I would want to make sure you can't say that about me, because this means so much to me. And the actions completely defy that. The inaction really defies that. Nothing happens. Nothing changes. He flies in and tells them the answer's in the room, and then they go out and get annihilated by Montreal.
Yeah, what does that say? That happens.
It's just nothing. Nothing just like, lines up. Nothing makes sense. It just does.
What a motivator, apparently.
Right.
I believe in you guys. And then,
I mean, did he get their names right when he talked to them? Like, I don't know, man.
Oh, boy. When is that schedule coming out? Lines open for your calls, 803-0550. Paul will join us at 6, like yesterday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
I've heard they've begun to look around for a senior advisor to work with Kevin Adams. And I heard this person will report to Kevin Adams, but they'll work with Kevin Adams. And it's someone who's been in the GM chair before, or someone who's been in a big chair before. That's what they're looking for, to add some experience to their front office. But they will report to Adams. Adams reports to Terry Pegula.
That's weird, right? I mean, say what you want about the Sabres embarking on this search. I mean, almost a month after the season ended. Not exactly proactive, but if that's unfair, still, like, it'd be weird to have a senior executive that would report to the GM.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be somebody who would come in over the top. I think Paul yesterday made a fair argument that the Sabres really don't need someone, another boss, as he put it. But who wants that? Who's looking for a job like that, to come in to a team that's had these results and report to the GM? I mean, a job is a job. But
that sounds like what Eric Staal is about to start doing.
Yeah, it does. Although he's not senior.
Right. And has not been in the big chair or anything, which is why, you know, I'll believe they can pull that person into the boat here when I see the pole bending. And they even then can be like, okay, get it on the line is one thing. Can you get it actually into the boat is a whole other thing. So I you should give some benefit of the doubt that they still would like to add this person. But hearing Friedman talk like that, yes, he said GM experience, big chair experience, which is not necessarily GM experience exactly. So I don't know why he's choosing the words the way he is, but usually there's a reason for that. Some candidate out there that might be the equivalent of a Botterill when he got here, assistant GM somewhere else, maybe is someone that's being considered for this role. But anyway, at the end there, he's going to report to Kevin Adams. That sounds like what they just did with Eric Staal. So I don't know. If Eric Staal ends up being it, then, you know, that's what you get. And I'm not necessarily campaigning for the other guy, but I'm open to it just because it would have credibility, I think. At least it should.
What does he need help with? And I'm not asking that to be sarcastic. What are we trying to... I feel like the biggest thing that's held him back and them back is inaction. It's not getting a move done when your season was kind of falling apart. And that's happened a couple of times. Really, almost no trade action at all. I mean, we've been down the road about free agency and what their limitations are, I guess, which Adams advertised. himself. I don't know if it's like identifying talent so much. I think they've made mistakes. But they
also
have talent too.
And they also are not, they're not afforded their pick of the litter. Like what Adams needs help with the most, I think, is luring the players that they might like to acquire, getting them to agree to come here, be they free agents or trade guys that they're looking at on the market.
Because, so somebody, they want a salesman for the job.
Yeah, then. I mean, I think his biggest problem, I mean, look, I didn't like that he said it the way he said it back in February, whenever that was, the palm trees and the taxes. It was never untrue. Like, I think those things are factors that are hindering that, you know, nothing more so than they're losing. And it's the biggest problem you have with the blaming it on that stuff is because I think there's plenty of examples in the league where the taxes aren't great and the weather's not great, but they win and they attract good players and keep good players. The Sabres can do none of that right now. And so they need help changing that. And in order to change that, they need more good players. In order to get more players, they need more guys to agree to come here, which might mean you need to get good first. And, like, you know, tie yourself up in knots with that. What does he need help with? Changing their image, mostly. But he's a part of that problem. I think that's we have really no idea what they could be if they had been able to make the moves that they've wanted to make, but are blocked because of no trade stuff. Like, he's dealing out of a short hand. He's responsible for some of that hand, but he's also in a tough spot. Always has been.
So would this new person be?
Right.
That person would have the same challenges, you would think. Maybe they would just be better at getting someone to say yes, getting results.
Or just their name alone, like them being here would be like, oh, wow, look at that. That guy's there.
Yeah. Who would that be? I have some fun thinking up names for that.
Maybe it's Eric Staal for some player. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Steve is with us. Hi, Steve.
Hey, thank you for taking the call. I think it's due time. This is just my opinion. I'm just some guy. Somebody that has the ability to do deep dive investigative work, has some budget in the market. Like, I think it's more than time to get the Tyler Dunn 2023 Sean McDermott equivalent piece on the Buffalo Sabres. Like, equivalent. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like,
yes.
I need, start with the through line from July 1st, 2007, right? They have never been good since. They have literally never been good since. Start with July 1st, 2007, what actually happened. Chris Drury's never spoken on the record about it, never once. Get somebody in the room that was actually there to actually talk about what happened. Just tell the fans. It's been 18 years. It's almost old enough to vote, or it is old enough to vote, right? Like, Sabres have not won a playoff series since 2007. Who was the president in 2007, right? George W. Bush, right? Like, think about where the world was in 2007. So start from there. Get me what happened with Pat LaFontaine. What did he actually do? Like, what were his roles and responsibilities? It was 11 years ago. Nobody has ever explained what actually happened. Did Tim Murray chew up an NHL official in earshot of officials right in the press box, whenever that was? It was talked about a lot after he got fired, conveniently enough. But, like, did that actually happen? What happened with that? Nobody knows, right? Like, veteran PR people, veteran C-suite people, lots of people with the C in front of their name, or the three letters with the C, lots of people there, mysteriously hired and fired, no explanation, right? Bruce Popko, John Roth, or Ross, whatever his name was, right? There was a trio of people after that got hired and fired. Russ Brandon was an employee of the Sabres for some reason. What did he do? What were his qualifications, right? Like, Jason Karmanos, some level of Sabres Twitter seems to think he's actually good at his job. I have no idea what he does at this organization. Has he ever done an interview? What are his responsibilities, right? Like, day-to-day. Like, what does he actually do? Like, Office Space, the movie where they have the interview with the Bob. Yeah. Tell us, what is it you do here? Like, genuinely tell me, what does he do? Because I have no idea, right? Like, I just think it's due time to somebody that has investigative access to do everything they can to win some award and get me 45,000 words on what has happened with this organization from July 1st, 2007 until today. And I would read it. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Yeah. I don't have any answers.
We lost you.
Steve, for just being a guy, I mean, great job. That was what he led with, right? I'm just a guy. That was great. That sounds like a 3-week mini series event on television. Is what streaming. Like I want to develop this idea. You know, I can participate in some of the investigative work, but that is not really an area that I have much expertise or experience in. But I want to be a part of a collaborative effort to bring this thing.
GoFundMe.
But I want the streaming rights. I want the streaming rights. But I think this is an idea that we can get off the ground. I need something else to pour myself into. I'm in the back. You know, I'm on the back nine here. I'm turning 60 in July. This could be it.
You don't have to tell me how different the world was in 2007. I say that because I know. I was sitting right here in this exact same chair, and in no way is that pathetic. Chris is next. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing? Thank
Good.
You.
Thank you.
You know, the previous caller mentioned Russ Brandon, and I think a lot of what's going on with the Sabres, with the senior advisor, reports to the GM, it smacks of something that happened during the drought in the Russ Brandon area. It sounds weird. It's not going to work, in my view. And there's enough evidence, as both of you have stated, Kevin Adams has had enough time. He has not handled contracts well. He's saddled the team with a lot of expensive contracts for players that are underperforming. His trades really haven't worked out, or they've been at best okay. I mean, we just made a recent trade of Cousins for a guy that was injury prone, and what happens? He plays like a couple games for us, and he's out for the rest of the year. Now, maybe that'll work out, maybe it won't, but, you know, like you were saying, Bulldog, Adams is part of the problem with attracting good quality players here. What player in the league is going to want to come here with the history of losing, the history of bad contracts, a weird type of situation where you have a senior advisor and kind of, you know, whatever that role is going to be. And it just doesn't make for a winning formula. And in fact, when I heard that Adams was going to be retained, it was kind of deflating to me. And I'm sure it's been deflating to other fans. I was actually thinking about maybe buying some tickets next year, and I can't say I really want to do that.
All right, Chris. I think with Adams, with the Sabres, the perspective is, with due respect to him, how was he hired in the first place? Like, is, quote, real teams? Like, is that a team? Is that a move a real team would make? To hire somebody as GM with his experience and, you know, like, just probably not. And that always with the disclaimer, because I want to make sure I'm heard saying it. That doesn't mean he can't succeed. But what general manager have the Sabres ever had that was a GM before or after? I mean, doesn't that tell you a lot? Go back pre-Regier. Regier was never a GM before and never one after, even though he was here a long time and had some success. I don't know.
Botrel just got named GM in Seattle.
Oh, right. There goes that point.
So, it still holds.
That's right.
Largely. I mean, there's a lot more names.
The streak is broken.
Yeah, the streak is broken. But it's still, it's telling. And
we'll put you in, even though you really don't seem qualified, we'll put you in. And we'll give you 6 years to get into the playoffs? It's laughable.
Yeah, that does not sound like pro sports at all. That sounds like a fundraiser or something. Like, it does not sound like a serious operation. Not to say fundraisers aren't serious operations. Whatever. It's a sloppy comparison. His still having the job. I just think it has to... There have to be people within the league that just look at Buffalo and think, like, what the hell is going on over there? Because they know how their business works, and this just doesn't happen. You don't just get to keep going and then hire your friends to try again when you fail as miserably as they have been failing. So, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, I don't talk to Sidney Crosby. I don't know if he's ever thought about Buffalo. But I think if somebody were to ask him at a golf outing today. What do you think is going on in Buffalo? I have no idea. I just think it just defies explanation for people that know how the league works. I shouldn't have mentioned a player specifically. I don't know what the hell. But it just, they're in a hellaciously bad spot.
Michael, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Speaking about this whole front office business and how they're trying to get different heads involved, it kind of very lightly reminds me of what seems to be going on with Vegas in the NFL. Like, you know, they kind of were in a pretty dormant spot, but they go ahead and they bring in some well-respected individuals. You know, Brady gets involved, Pete Carroll's there, and they, you know, John Spytek, they get guys that, you know, have connections to each other that they feel like can pull in talent, and then Geno Smith ends up there. The reason I say this is because I feel like that's kind of the direction the Sabres want to take, but the problem is, A, it's not Vegas, yeah, and B, we're not getting rid of, you know, there isn't a full overhaul going on here, but I feel like that's kind of the direction I'm trying to go on. Just a parallel I thought was kind of comparable.
Thanks. Speaking of Vegas, we were watching, my wife was about to go to bed, the anthem and the start of their game last night, and I don't know if she's ever watched a Vegas game, but she's getting ready to leave the room as that's on. The anthem had just ended, and you have this like incredible, what is it even, how could you describe it? Like this whole kind of section, it's like Vegas football where they have, you know, or like a football stadium,
right,
where
right.
at the top, you know, somebody's beating a drum or something, and it's just like a huge production. And she's like, oh my God, we're in the same league?
Yeah, it's Vegas, right.
Yep. I mean, that's Vegas, but
yep,
it doesn't feel like it's the same league when you watch them. It doesn't feel like it's the same league. As the Sabres do not feel like they're in the same league. They are, it should be said. They actually are. But, man, it just looks and sounds and feels like a lot more going on there. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll be right back. This is WGR. Welcome back. Paul Hamilton at the top of the hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Here's Dylan next. Hi, Dylan.
Hey guys, how you doing? I'm just calling because, I mean, I feel this Stavrelli announcement kind of is just a little bit of a smack in the face to the franchise. Like, you have a GM that you hire with, you know, not the greatest resume out of the gate, and it takes you 5, going on 6 years to hire someone to help him. Like, why wasn't this a decision made maybe in the first year? Like, where you're like, oh, maybe we're not where we're at, you know, hiring someone to help him out. And it's just, I feel like after this season, everyone expects a change, and you're like, not only are we going to keep him, but we're going to do what we probably should have done 5 years ago and find someone with, you know, GM experience or AGM experience to, you know, help him out. But it's just like, he doesn't have he hasn't gotten the resources yet. And if he hasn't figured it out now, who are you going to be able to attract to this position that is willing to answer to him and, you know, attract to the Buffalo market? Like, he struggles with bringing people in, whether it's because of the situation of the team or not. I'm hesitant to like question if he even bothers overpaying slightly or even a little more for like big name players if he wants to try to attract them, despite the losing and the you know, situation of being in a high tax state, no palm trees for what it's worth. But, you know, it's time to like, are we really doing this training wheel session now after like 6 years now of being a GM? Like, why is this going to be another 3-year thing? Like, oh, he didn't learn enough this year. Maybe he needs a couple more years having his hand held before we move on from him at front office. Like, it's been long enough with regressive results. And I'm just questioning why this decision was made now and not 5 years ago after year one or with year one.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think those are legitimate questions. The best you can hope for, if you want that extra person in the front office, although hearing Friedman describe the position the way he is really makes me wonder if they will be able to, like the caller saying, attract a candidate that is going to show up to answer to the guy that shouldn't have a job. That seems like weird synergy to me, but okay, maybe they will still pull that person in. And we won't just end up with Eric Staal today, because that is, it's important to remember that. I'm skeptical. The description, the job description that we just played the clip of Elliot Friedman talking about sounds like the job they just hired Eric Staal for. Without the big chair GM experience. Like someone to contribute and answer to Kevin Adams. I mean, that's not a president of hockey operations. At least that's not anyone with any credibility, I would think, would want to be actually the president of hockey operations and not be answering to the GM.
Utah Mammoth, by the way, that has been made official. Defer to Travis on this. I respect him, and I'm curious for his opinion on it, and he gave it, which because he knows his Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, logo's great. The mountains, you can't even necessarily notice them, but it's like a great logo, but the name is meh.
Yeah.
Mammoth. I'm an S guy. I like an S team name myself. Maybe, you know, that's my age showing.
Sal noticed this and tweeted, and I saved it. I think this makes 11 teams across the four North American team sports that have a name like that. None of them are football teams.
Correct. Yeah. Are you an S man? Like, I want my team names to have that S.
I have not really minded, the Lightning or the no, I guess I don't need it.
Okay.
I didn't need it to be Mammoth, though, no, either. I liked it.
I did not like hockey.
I liked HC myself. I would have stayed with Utah HC. I like how that looked. So, I don't know. I like the color scheme, so the uniform looks good to me. I got to look at the logo again. I didn't notice the mountains.
Check it out.
I did not notice the mountains. I love mountains.
You love mountains.
I don't know why we should all live near mountains. That's not geographically possible, but man, when you're in the mountains, don't you always think like, man,
this is great.
We should live in the mountains. Of course, I'm not there in November. I think like 20 inches of snow where I was standing. 20 inches of snow fell yesterday. We got out of there just in time. But anyway, yeah, mountains. I got to see the mountains on this Utah logo.
I like them, but don't love them. Actually, as you say all this, I like mountains, but no service.
Yeah.
You know, you really think about what's important in life when you're in the mountains, which is I can't make my draft pick because there's no service here. And I have to, maybe there's one bar. So I just walk around very gingerly, carefully, just try to find the spot for that one bar so I can draft Devontae Smith in the fifth round. I'm 53 years old. Paul Hamilton after sports here on WGR.